Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Men's Room Podcast from TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. If, like me, you love a little deal, then you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes, such as TVs, gaming consoles, and even holidays. If you keep spending, you'll keep on saving. That's the Toolstation Club, so make sure you join today online, in-store or via the app. A bosh.
Hello everyone, I'm Adi Oladipo and welcome to The Men's Room. Bad news and good news. The bad news is this is our last episode. The good news is we're going to go out with a bang. Rory Jennings.
Honoured to be here. What we need you to do
go on.
Is comment on this podcast.
Yeah.
Let our bosses know that you've enjoyed it and
yes.
We can then come back for a second series.
Yeah, like say, where is it? It's a disgrace if it doesn't happen again. Like just, really, don't
create,
swear or anything.
Create a hashtag. Go mad.
You know what? Yeah.
Should we give out actual names
of
who to talk to on Twitter to make sure that this happens again?
Don't know.
Probably a bad idea.
Yeah, let's not get sacked before it goes out. Yeah. But come on, give us, like Rory says, leave a comment because I've enjoyed doing these. You know, when you look back at the last few episodes, which one have you enjoyed the most?
I think, there's a few that have really resonated. I enjoyed our fatherhood conversation.
Fantastic, wasn't it?
I thought that was special. Do you know, I thought Anxiety Josh was great. I thought he was a great guest.
I watched that yesterday.
Yeah. I thought he was a great guest. Any stand out for you?
I think relationships and fatherhood were interesting. Mm. I think fatherhood was good because there were quite similarities between our situation and I think we just opened up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that story, it's not funny, but the story about you in the pub and knowing the pub numbers, but then saying that your daughter won't be able to get you because she can call you on your mobile.
Yeah. So,
something along those lines. Yeah. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, very funny. But no, there were some poignant moments, weren't there?
Yeah.
Some poignant, honest, sort of heart-wrenching moments. So no, I've thoroughly enjoyed doing it. Let's just hope that we get commissioned for that second series.
Indeed. Any ones that were of a surprise to you? Like, wow, like didn't expect that.
I mean, there was a moment, I think in a fairly recent one, you know, when we had Gideon in and we were talking about gang culture and sort of violence on the streets of London and in all major cities, there was a moment where he casually spoke about his experiences and he wasn't really accentuating too much. And we were both talking to him and we were kind of probing him to say, why are you doing this? You know, why are you so passionate about stopping knife crime and stopping this gang sort of violence? And he didn't really say too much. And we pushed again. And we were like, was there an epiphany? Why do you... And then just casually, when I was stabbed 16 times, we're like, that's it, mate. That moment, sort of it was a sea change like no other, wasn't it? It was a sort of metamorphosis in the studio. You're like, whoa,
yeah,
what?
Like, pause for a second.
Yeah, hang on a minute.
What have you just said?
Yeah.
Because I remember you asked him, I remember the question, you actually asked him, were there any moments that made you change what you're doing? And it was like, well, not really. And then I kind of pushed it. Yeah, anything happened? You stabbed 16 times.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
that's
so
the moment,
terrifying.
Mate. That's the moment.
Terrifying.
Yeah. That was scary.
So yeah, there were certainly a few things like that that really resonated. And, you know, I'm a proud Londoner, lived in London my whole life. And that took my breath away.
Yeah.
I feel like I've got quite a good understanding about the fabric of our community and the fabric of a city that I'm very proud of, but not that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, what are you talking about?
I mean,
like,
that
16
was,
as well.
Yeah, that was a shocking one.
Yeah.
That was a shocking one. And look, Gideon's doing so much good work in the community now. Long may it continue. But yeah, that was a surprise. For me, the one that stood out the most was that domestic abuse one.
Yeah.
That surprised me a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not something that I've really been able to ever empathize with at all. You know, domestic violence for me is very much a one-way street.
Yeah,
an unacceptable one-way street.
Mm.
That is completely and utterly unacceptable if anyone does it, you know they're ostracised, if not given a dig. I'd never heard of it the other way. Until that moment, I'd never heard of it. You know, hearing the conversation about how it materialised and the level of violence involved and the helplessness of the male victim.
You're not surprised as well, the numbers. Remember we had that gentleman here that was from, his name skips my mind now, and he was talking about the numbers, the amount of men that report this.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
Surprised me.
Yeah, it surprised me. And also, I think you and I are probably, I imagine, I'm being hugely judgmental here, but I imagine that a lot of our listeners would conform to our approach to 100%. Society.
Yeah.
I think it's quite good for people like me and you to hear that, because my natural approach, and I can totally concede that I'm probably wrong. I totally concede that I am seen as a bit of a boomer.
You are.
But I'd go, hold up, what? Your missus does what?
Mm.
What's up with you? That would be my approach.
That's the approach.
That would be my approach.
If I was out with a few friends in a bar and one of them said that, oh, my missus hits me,
I'm like, I'd laugh.
Yeah, that would be the
thing. I'll say she did what?
Yeah.
Funny.
I wouldn't take it serious.
No.
Then,
which
and
is why that was so educated. Like, that was the most didactic one that we've had.
Yeah.
That was the one where you kind of, personally, I think, for the pair of us, I don't want to speak on your behalf here, but I think for the pair of us, that was the one where we evolved, which is what this is about. You know, we are learning, we are growing as people. It's your responsibility. You know, the way that you see the world when you're 30 isn't the way you see the world when you're 40, isn't the way you're constantly growing, you're constantly evolving, you're constantly improving. And in that conversation, I would say that my approach to that situation has completely changed from before to after that podcast.
It's strange, though. I still think, even now, even people listening to that podcast, and look, hopefully what it does is allow people to kind of be brave and speak up. But I can still see the majority of men not coming out and saying that. The majority of men will still think, I'm not saying my wife hits me or whatever.
No. Look, I can use my friends. This is wrong, and this is why doing a podcast like the one that we did was so important.
Mm.
But I'm pretty sure that in my social circle, if one of our mates said that was happening, I'd like to think that the support would come. I'd like to think that, but the initial reaction would be one of huge laughter.
I still don't know what. Do you know when you say support would come? I don't know how I'd handle it. If my mate came up to me and said that, I still would feel like I wouldn't know what to do. If I'm honest with you.
I think we now have an experience and we know that it's a serious issue. So I'd like to think that we would behave differently. But no, my mate who's a London cabbie, he's only going to laugh at that situation. And that's why people need to hear that podcast. That's why we need to talk about it. And that's why it's such a valuable thing and such an honour that we can be part of that journey for society.
Yeah, and credit to the gentleman that obviously spoke about his own situation as well. One that was funny for me was toxic masculinity, because you kind of went, I knew as soon as that conversation
Keys
started,
was an idiot.
I knew you. Oh, here we go.
Keys was an idiot. I don't care. Keys was an idiot.
I knew
I'm
you
so
were going to
go there. I'm so bored of that chat. I'm so bored of toxic masculinity. Am I allowed to say this?
Yeah, come on.
You
can say whatever you want.
I am so bored of it. I'm sure that people listening to this will agree, apart from the ones who don't agree, who now hate me.
Yeah.
But I don't care about them either. But I'm so bored of that. I'm so bored about blaming white men for every problem in the world. Yeah. I'm so bored of being told that, like, there is no way that the defined roles of me, my wife, and my child, who has a role to play in our household and the functioning of our household, there is no way that it's interchanging roles. My responsibility is to provide and defend my family. And if you don't think that that's a real thing, if you don't believe that there is a defined role for a male in a home, I think that's cool. You believe what you want. I won't tell you what to do. But never talk to me, because I hate you.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate you, and I think you're so wrong.
Yeah.
You're so wrong. If you honestly believe that there is absolutely no, and this isn't about, what, don't you think your wife could earn money then? Don't you think your wife could defend? Yes, she could, but not as well. And not as easy, and it wouldn't come as naturally. If you can't see that there's differences between the male and female form and the male and female responsibility, I think you're insane. I genuinely think you're insane. This is where I get cancelled.
But this is where I feel like your opinion is so valid, and I think the majority of people have and back your opinion, but now won't say it because the world's a different place now. And if you say what you just said, then yes, you do get cancelled.
But it's ridiculous. Like, my wife and I are such a good team, and it works being together, and we pull in the same direction.
Everyone understanding their roles.
Everyone's got, yeah. Like, there are certain things that I can't do that she's superior at. Loads, most things, in fact.
Yeah.
But there are certain, there are very specific roles that are mine to fulfil, and mine to fulfil only. So, yeah, I don't get that sort of view on society at all.
Is there any subject, and we've covered so many different ones and it's been such a broad range and wide range of subjects, is there any one though that you'd like to sort of dive deep into? Like, you know, like these podcasts are what, 45 minutes, an hour long. Is there any one that you wish was like a couple of hours to kind of ask more, find out more about?
Yeah, I could certainly hear more from you about your situation with regard to your, you know, when we were talking about relationships and your approach to relationships. I think you're quite a good case study of single. It's not necessarily a compliment.
No, I know it isn't. That's why.
Could be an insult.
Thank you was a throwaway thank you.
Yeah, yeah, it could be. It could definitely be an insult.
Oh, nice, nice.
But I think that your story today is definitely more interesting than mine. My story is I'm a married man who is a doting husband and I adore my kid. And that's basically...
mine's not that.
And yours is not that, but not that. You're kind of on the road to that and... It's a meandering path that's filled with
jeopardy.
Eventful stories and
colourful, crazy.
Yes, yeah, and the history, and you know, you obviously had a moment where you were nearly married and that didn't materialise. I think that is something that would be very interesting to explore in a deeper way, not necessarily directly to you. I think your story is interesting here, but I think that there's a lot to understand and a lot to sort of embrace about the London single scene. For people who are post 35, you know, for people, if you're single and you're 27, I don't really care because that's life.
Yeah.
But if you're single and you're 35, it's a slightly different journey. It's a slightly different story.
I actually think now, like, when you are single at that age, people look at you different. It's weird. I remember it. Like, single in my 20s, you know, people would look at you and, oh, you know.
No,
whatever.
It was weird. Well, it was weird if you're, I remember I started a job when I was working on Big Brother. The fellow who came to work with us, who was my age, about 27, 28, he was married. I was like, bro, what are you talking about?
You're married.
I'm like, married to who? What happened? He's like, is she pregnant?
Yeah.
It's like, no.
Yeah,
like, why are you married?
Yeah.
What are you doing? That was weird. Whereas
but now I'm the weird one.
Weird isn't the right word.
No, it's not, but I know what you mean. Now I'm that guy.
Yeah.
Like, you're not settled down.
Yeah, and I think you're quite a good one to explore because face value.
Perfect.
Perfect. Well, I don't know if I'd agree with that.
Perfect.
But yeah, you have.
Everything.
You have a lot.
Got everything.
You have a lot to offer.
Yeah.
So I do think that that's an interesting one. What about you? Is there anything that you would like to delve deeper into?
I think fatherhood was really good.
Mm.
Like, I think your stories about your dad were incredible, if I'm honest with you, and so open. And it's almost like, I wish there was part two. Like, you know, when a film ends, you're like, well, 1 second, 20 more minutes, please.
Yeah.
I wanted more from that story.
Yeah, pop down to a pub in Ladbroke Grove and get him on.
Yeah, honestly. Because of me seeing you and your character, and look, I know that you've been brought up by your mum and your gran, so there's a lot of ladies' influence, but I still see that cheeky chappy.
Mm.
And I want to see the person that birthed that.
Yeah, that's him.
And it must be him.
Yeah, that's him.
So I'd almost love to see you 30 years old or whatever and see what it's like.
Yeah, I mean, that was good. I mean, there've been some very interesting ones, hasn't there?
Mm.
Like, when you think about the topics that we've covered and the broad range of issues that
we've covered
faced
a lot.
Head on.
We've covered a lot. I mean, even the one, we've had ones about depression, male grooming, which I think you went down and got your hair cut from him.
I liked him. Nice guy.
Good looking dude, wasn't he, as well?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, until he...
until you saw his fingernails, you weren't a fan. What do they call that thing again?
It's called shellacking.
Shellacking, that's
his finger.
Yeah.
But you know, it works for him, doesn't it? Because he's like, he's cool in like a very,
very cool.
true sense of the
very
word.
Very cool.
Like,
I was on his Instagram, and even his photos. You know when people take photos of them walking?
Yeah.
Like one foot just like perfect.
But you should see him in his true environment. So you know, obviously he came to our studio, which is your home territory. It's your home game.
My gaff.
I went to his.
Mm.
So I went to Murdoch's in Covent Garden, had my hair cut. But to watch him, you know, gregarious, handsome, holding court. And he's like all West Ham tattoos and geezer
it's
and all that. And he's got painted nails. That was actually a very interesting moment for me. That
I saw it.
When
you saw the West Ham tattoo, you're like, hold on. The two don't go together.
No.
Yeah.
No, because...
Yeah. Not at all, by the way.
I've done more than my fair share of... I mean, I've done more than my fair share of trips to West Ham, both the new and the old stadium. But I've also done plenty of England away games, tournaments and group games to get to tournaments. And when you go away with England, like, I don't know, I went to Macedonia in, when would that have been, 05, 06? I went to Macedonia, England won 1-0, Peter Crouch scored a bicycle kick. That's what I can remember. We powered up with these West Ham fans.
Chelsea and West Ham,
apparently. Well, yeah, I was with my two mates, QPR fans. We met in our hotel, we met these sort of West Ham fans, ended up going out for a drink with them. Wild, you know, like,
yeah,
wild.
West Ham, yeah.
West Ham tattoos.
England West Ham fans got
yeah,
away.
Yeah, wild. They were trouble, like real trouble. Yeah. And they had the West Ham tattoos. And what I see as being synonymous with, if you've got the tattoo of the West Ham crest or the irons or whatever, if you've got that tattoo, it's a statement, isn't it?
Mm.
It's a statement and it's an insight into your character and therefore your view of the world.
100%.
So if I see somebody like that, then this is applicable to every club, every whatever.
Anything.
You can make an assumption. The assumption that you would make with regard to our friend who came in to talk about male grooming, the assumption that you would make...
Prior to seeing the West Ham tattoo,
so
by the way.
So wrong.
So you're saying prior to seeing the West Ham tattoo.
Or even, or the other way. So you see the West Ham tattoo and you go, right, I know how this geezer views the world. I know where this geezer sits politically. I know where this geezer sits on virtually everything. Mm. And then you see the fingernails. You're like, hang on, that's not the same person. What? It's not the same person, is it? It's not the same person. It's actually a very good one for me. You know, again, you know what we were saying before about learning and growing and... Mm. Becoming a better, more rounded, more educated person.
Yeah.
That was a good one for me. Like, yeah, maybe, just maybe seeing that, him, meeting
that's
him.
Him. Yeah. Right? That's him. But yeah, he was great. I need to go down and get my shape up and my beard oil.
Mate, he'd love your beard because you know when I went to that place.
He says he can carve it, he said.
Yeah, there was obviously I'm very, very much a clean shaven kind of bloke, which I would maintain now is
got a bit of stubble today.
Is the what today I didn't have a shave today. I left the house early. But that's only through laziness, not through design.
Okay.
And
you're not trying to join the beard gang?
Never.
Okay.
Never.
You think you look quite good with a beard?
No, it's not. It's not for me. Like we established on that. For me, having a shave is part of getting dressed.
You're so 1920s. You
getting
know
dressed.
That.
If you
you're
get dressed,
so old
if you go
school.
Out, if it'd be
God,
like,
you watch Peaky Blinders, don't you?
If I went out without my shoes on, that'd be weird, wouldn't it? It's the same. Go out. It's the same. It's completely the same.
Right.
Like, have a shave is part of being.
So you're basically saying, Adi, you're scruffy.
But when I appreciate it, that that's not the world now. Yeah. I appreciate that's not the world. Everybody's got a beard. Yeah. But when I went to see him in Covent Garden, there was an element of disappointment that I wasn't, because it was very beardy. It, like the place, I mean. Mm. You know, they were ready to, it's all beard oils and combs for your beard. And
that's not you, is it?
No, mate. Short back and sides, keep it long on top, hope for the best after that.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The Men's Room podcast on TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. This is your little reminder that you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store, or via the app. You might be thinking, why would I sign up? But I'm glad you asked. At Toolstation, if you keep spending, you keep on saving. Signing up means that not only will you get a lovely 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, but there are thousands of prizes to be won. So that's the Toolstation Club, so make sure you join today online, in-store, or via the app.
We've had so many comments come in from YouTube. Thank you so much. I'm going to read a couple of out. This one on relationships. Arsenal Real Madrid. That's his YouTube handle, by the way. He needs sorting that, doesn't he? Arsenal Real Madrid. I'm far from being a ladies man. Quite the opposite, actually. But from my experience, face-to-face approach is better in regards to getting dates and numbers. Relying solely on dating apps is a coward's way out. akin to a footballer avoiding a penalty during a shootout. The rejections will help strengthen your character and you will benefit in the long run.
Yeah, yes, he's correct. Actually, I completely agree.
I agree with
but
that,
I agree, you agree, he agrees, but we're probably the only three in the world that do. You know, it's got to the stage now where I think, I hope I'm wrong, but I think that it's now weirder to meet someone in a pub than online. Like when I was young, if you met someone online, I remember when I was at university, people would be on a website called Plenty of Fish. If people went on that,
exist.
I'd go, mate, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Go to the pub full of women.
But rejection's quite a big thing.
Yeah, but it's life, isn't it? Like, if you can't handle rejection in terms of, like, life...
How many things can you take, though? How much rejection can you take?
But you have to be resilient. Life is one massive acceptance and also one massive rejection.
But people will see, like, you know what? It's easy on the photo app, isn't it? Just, nope, reject, quickly, reject,
move on. Yeah, but you can still get rejected,
quickly.
Though. You just meet in real life.
It doesn't hurt, does it? It's just bang.
No,
bang,
but you could still get rejected when you meet.
Oh yes, you are correct.
Because you're almost setting yourself up. You know what these people are like now? Mad filters and airbrushing. Every girl on there looks like Kim Kardashian.
It's frightening.
I don't know what Kim Kardashian looks like, but apparently she's the pinnacle of female.
Up.
I wouldn't recognise her on the tube, mate. She could have been on my tube on the way here.
You
I wouldn't
had
have
a poster of her. Stop lying.
But I think being rejected and you know, if you've asked a girl out or whatever, I think that being rejected is part of life and it's a part of growth and it's part of experience.
Yeah, agreed.
Because it's going to set you up. You're at some point in your life, you're going to go for a job and you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
At some point in your life, you're going to be rejected. Like, life isn't acceptance.
It's the norm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think we're in a generation of that doesn't work. That's not the norm.
Yeah.
If I reject, it's the end of the world.
Yeah, and you're not allowed. Like, there's kind of a movement against competition.
Mm.
Like, you're not allowed to. You know, there's no winners and losers. I take my kids to football,
stand that nonsense.
Do you know what they did?
I can't stand. Well, everyone gets a medal.
Everyone gets a sticker.
What?
Like, she's three, so I'm tolerating it.
Ban it now.
At three, she has to understand. At three, I can
early.
Live with it. And in fairness, she won the race. But
yeah, you didn't win the father's race, though, did you?
I do, mate. Do you know?
You're not fast for me. I raced you. I raced you.
Addy,
I raced you with a bad back and bad knees.
Addy, compared to, do you know me and you, compared to the average, you know when I go to parent things?
Oh, yeah, they're a bit.
Bruv, I'm the king.
Yeah.
I'm the king. They're all double fat and that. Yeah. Like, they're dads, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Like, you and I, a parent's thing. We'd do some business. Yeah.
Right, another one about relationship. This is from Yella Dean. Can't believe you did a Spursy and bottled a wedding.
Yeah.
Love the honesty. This was a good podcast. Yeah, you know what? I did. Well, I didn't bottle the wedding. I just realised.
It's quite brave what you did. I mean, it's mental, but it's brave.
Yeah, at the time, it was very scary.
I didn't think
of it as brave. I did think of it as you've bottled it.
It depends what way you look at it, because I think that there is a world where the braver thing to do is to not do the wedding. The cowardly thing to do would be to just turn up and say I do and
just hope for the best.
Yeah.
Hope for the best. Yeah. I decided that wasn't going to be the case. And, you know, now looking back years to come, I definitely handled it wrong, but
there's no right way to handle that. Like, there isn't like a manual.
No. I went, there's no right way, but if there's the wrong way.
You still did it wrong.
I did it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Like, not answering the door to her mum.
What, you're just sitting in the house like that?
Shitting myself. Yeah. Yeah. Like, literally, like...
I don't know what you do in that situation.
Like, literally, I felt like I could sense her mum coming to the door. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like a horror movie.
You knew
she was
there.
You know horror movies where...
Yeah. Like in Jurassic Park, you know, when the water's moving and the kid's sitting in the thing in the kitchen.
I was like, I'm not answering this door. I am... There's no way...
And what's she doing? Just banging on there, shouting through the letterbox.
Kick the door down, nearly.
Really?
I would do the same. I'm thinking about it now. If a dude... was with my daughter for 7, 8, 9, 10 years and got married. And then the dude just said, don't fancy it. I'm coming for his head. I'm finding him. I'm coming for his head. So I don't blame her whatsoever. I should have dealt with it. Should have dealt with it better.
Yeah. No, there's no easy way though. Like, whatever you did was probably the right move and simultaneously
I went
probably
cold
the
turkey.
Wrong move.
You know, like literally, like a drug addict that's literally just
Do you know what you should have probably done?
Go on.
Just like book yourself a flight. Don't tell anyone where. Just go.
Yeah.
Just like get out. Look, I'm at Terminal 5.
I was actually
in
London for about a month, then I went to South Africa to work.
Yeah.
Thinking it was, by the time I get back, it's all going to be nice and no.
Yeah, have an identity change.
What about it?
Just leave. I'm gone. I don't exist
Cuba,
anymore. Yeah.
30 years old again.
Different passport. Yeah.
Everything works. All right, this one's on fatherhood. This is from Craig Taylor. Excellent vid, which I can really relate to. My dad left when I was 6 months old, leaving my mum and me alone in London. I've never had a father figure in life. And as you say, honestly believe it drives me, and it's not a weakness in any way. Being raised by women as you have made me softer in the right ways. I served in the military, I went all over the world, and now I'm settled down with an amazing wife and an incredible little girl. Is this you writing this? Apart from the military.
Imagine being in the military.
Yeah. The absence of a father figure drives me to be better, to be what I never had for my daughter, and be what my mum never had for my wife. While I appreciate it can break you, having no father figure, it can also make you if you have the right support.
Yeah. Powerful.
Powerful from Craig Taylor there. Powerful. Mm. Another one here from Wallace P. Games. My father was pretty useless and I saw him from the age of 12. 19 years later, he dies and I cried once, but I couldn't explain why. Possibly in hindsight, it may have been due to the chance of asking questions and getting answers. If anyone reading this has been through similar and you have a chance to ask questions, please do it. It's funny because I remember you asked me this. Mm. I think we both asked each other and you said, if your dad was around now, and I was like, yeah, I'll take him to everything.
Yeah.
Because I'd want him, because my dad was the reason I love sport.
Yeah, he'd be at the boxing with you and all that. Boxing. He's doing the big things.
Yeah, be at the boxing, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Never think like that. Never listen to anything like that. Mm. Do you know Luther Vandross song?
Oh, here we go.
Dance with My Father.
By the way, he does. Oh, God, powerful.
That made you cry that.
That, yeah, don't listen to that anytime. Don't.
That song is so beautiful, but it's so powerful.
Really powerful. Yeah,
never listen to that and then read that because you'll definitely cry.
Yeah. Why do people do that? Even when people have like bad things in relationship, they put on love music. It's like it's the wrong thing to do.
Don't do that. Put on Wiley or something.
Yeah, yeah. Bit of Stormzy. Yeah,
last thing in the world Stormzy you need now is Celine Dion.
Yeah. He don't want Celine Dion. You know, one we did do, which was very interesting. You got a lot of stick about this. Growing old. Because you were talking about guys in their 40s with protein shakes trying to get six packs. And you like, stop it. Well, and people came at you.
Yeah. But my issue isn't necessarily that. Take pride in it. I do my best, right?
You go, Jim.
I do my best.
Is it because you can't get a six pack now?
No, I think I phrased it poorly. My attack wasn't at them. Mm. My attack was more grow old gracefully.
Yeah.
That's what it was more at.
What, going gym's not what you.
No, there's a line though, isn't there?
No.
So don't try and look 20. Don't dress 20. Don't have a haircut of a 20-year-old. Don't behave like a 20-year-old. Don't go to Zanti. Don't, like, my attack was more 40-year-olds. Like 40-year-olds, yeah. 40-year-olds in skinny jeans with six-packs. It was more that rather than, of course, take pride in yourself. Of course, be healthy. Of course, go to the gym and make sure that you're regimented with what you eat.
You're such an old soul, ain't you? Like, you are quite an old soul.
Quite traditional, yeah.
Yeah.
Quite traditional.
Proper.
I'm quite traditional.
Do you open a car door for your missus?
Not a car door, but I'd hold a door open for anyone.
Yeah.
And if you don't say thank you, woe betide my rear.
Yes, honestly. Yes.
Woe betide, even in the office.
Yeah.
If I hold the door open for you and you walk through it and you don't say thank you.
I curse them in my head.
I say
you. I
go,
curse.
You're welcome.
I do that as
you're
well.
You're welcome.
I thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm furious. But what I don't like is, you know, there are certain brands out there that are clearly aimed at younger people.
Mm.
When I see older people in that.
It's a bit.
Yeah,
off,
like, or the other thing I find so vulgar, you know, the mad designer gear. You know when somebody is just like in ridiculous,
like a
45
Burberry stuff.
A 45, that kind of thing. I mean, the Burberry,
it's just all branded out. Like, just keep it cool. With
all that D squared gear and that. You know, when you're 46 and you're wearing those shoes with those trainers with the massive platforms. Mm. It's like, what are you doing, mate? What are you doing?
But what, they still want to remain young. What's the problem with that?
But they're the people I have issue with. Grow old gracefully. Be dress your age, not your shoe size.
Would you do anything?
So who said that?
I don't know who first said it.
Prince.
Was it Prince?
Prince song, isn't it?
Really?
Yeah. At your age, not your shoe size. Yeah.
I'm sure someone said it before Prince, but.
No, he's the poet. He's the architect of all things good. It
probably was said in the 50s, but. I was going to. Would you do anything cosmetic?
I mean, I use moisturiser. Yeah. I push it on that front, I think. Mm. You know, when we were talking about our beauty regimes, my ablutions, I put moisturiser on every day. I have a haircut every other month. I have a bit of under eye cream now and again. But when you say cosmetic, do you mean knives?
Yes.
No, of course not.
Okay.
Of course not. I wouldn't
do
that.
Would you let your
missus? I wouldn't stop her. I wouldn't want her to. Yeah. My counsel would be don't.
Yeah.
But it's her body, you know. Like, if she decided.
My counsel would be don't.
Obviously don't. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, there's another example, though, of growing old gracefully.
Yeah.
You know these old girls?
Oh, I can't take it. Can't take it.
Mate, I was in Barcelona recently, and it was a girl, honestly. Like, you know when, like, if you saw the back of her, she, like, long hair down her back and all that.
You're about to get cancelled right now.
No, I mean, I just couldn't believe my eyes. She's about 70. Yeah. I just went to her house with Adam McCullough. I went, oh my good God. Like grow old gracefully, man. Like, yeah. Because also it's so much more appealing. Like, you know, my grandmother, she dresses incredibly well. She takes great pride in her appearance, great pride in her,
your grandma's
in her flat. Yeah, she really does.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't think she was 20. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's sort of, I think when you get to that age, you can look very classic and very classy. And
so she have
almost like, regal.
So she have like plates and saucepans with patterns on.
Yeah, she takes like she old. Like she lives in a council flat on the Kilburn High Road, but the decor is the decor is closer to what I imagine the Sultan of Brunei's house is like.
Yeah,
you know, when you go in, the first thing she do, get them shoes off, raw. Shoes off. You know, she takes great pride in herself and her
love it
and her house, but yeah, just my issue, and I did phrase it wrong in that because I think 100% go to the gym, 100% take pride, and 100% be healthy. Just don't be a moron. Don't dress like a 20-year-old. Don't go to 20-year-old nightclubs.
Yeah.
Don't, like, it's that same kind of principle. If you have you ever ended up in, you know, those West End nightclubs, like Tramp or wherever.
Yeah.
I find it so off-putting. Like, my mate's a member, so I end up going for dinner. Me, Victoria, and my mate and his wife go for dinner in there. And there's a nightclub. We pop down for a cocktail occasionally. The four of us. There'll be a 60-year-old fella with a 22-year-old girl.
Mm.
What are you doing, mate?
He's living life. What are you talking about?
Do you think?
Absolutely. You think if I get to 60, I want a 65-year-old next to me?
Yes.
No.
We're getting a little bit of an insight into the single, Okay. So we're making a little bit more sense. The jigsaw is coming together.
It's coming together now. No, I know what you mean. All right, a couple more comments. This is from Wade Ashley Feist. Says, I'm 24 and I feel about 54. Jeez, Wade. I feel very lost these days. Obviously, football is massive in my life. Family and football is everything to me. I haven't had friends or people to meet for a decade. I live a recluse lifestyle. I get the feeling like I'm on my way out. All right, look, Wade, you're not on your way out at all. The funny thing is, I 100% feel like a recluse most times as well. I think we all go through it. I've definitely gone through it. You just got to open up. Just got to open up and let people in. It's difficult to, by the way, because you feel people are quite judgmental. But you've almost just got to be yourself, open up, let people in, and then you'll realise that there's a lot of people out there like you.
The nature of that message, I think that could almost be more needs to speak to somebody.
And we'll see if we can reach out as well, actually. We'll see if we can reach out and put Wade in touch with people. But again, with all these things, I've always said that my DMs are open for conversations. I'm always happy to have a conversation. I actually do it on my own personal YouTube channel, where I phone people regularly and just have conversations, and you'll be surprised how it makes their... It's weird because, you know, you just feel like your own little person. And then when I call them, like, what? Ade? No way. Mom! Ade's on the blog. You ain't going to believe this. Yeah.
Oh, mate, that's
and
amazing.
And I reach out and we have conversations, even just for 5 minutes. Yeah, obviously, I can't reach out to everyone.
It's a lovely
So we'll see
gesture.
If we can get in touch with Wade, because I think we need to. Shanique says, I can relate to both of you. When I reached 40, all my bones creaked and I now hate younger people. Now, every year on my birthday, something else happens. Nose, ear, doing the sound every time you sit or stand, just turning around and getting a pain of some sort. I've just turned 46 and have to take naps in the afternoon now. Jeez. Yeah.
It's life. Yeah, I've got wisdom tooth issue. Yeah. You know,
my knee cracks
I've never had anything. Oh, my ankle, guarantee, every step I take, every move I make... Every single day that will creak.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but it is life, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the point is embracing it, and don't look forward, don't look back. Just embrace every stage of life.
It's difficult to embrace because no one tells you when you get to 40, this is going to start to happen.
No, I don't think it's a surprise though. I mean, we've all got older relatives and seen older people.
Yeah.
The thing that I think happens, particularly for young people, and I was definitely guilty of this, I kind of thought, well, not me.
Mm.
I'll be all right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I won't. But, you know, it's a part of it. But I do think sort of some very good advice that I was given when my daughter was born, when you have the christening, you have to go and, like, have some conversations with the priest.
Yeah.
And we had a baby at the time. And he said to us, look, don't think about, like, just embrace the now with your daughter. So don't kind of look longingly back. And I think parents often do that. Parents often go, oh, they were so cute. I miss them. They're growing up so fast. Mm-hmm. And you're like, don't hanker for the past. Equally, when you're in a moment, don't think of the future. Try and get out of this particular period because it's difficult. Mm. Each period of life will come with its joys and its tribulations. But just try and enjoy each stage because it does pass.
Very quickly.
And then you'll be looking back on this stage, wishing, you know, when you're 50, you'll start wondering and hankering back to when you're 40.
There is that, isn't it? There is that. I know it's difficult to do for everyone, but there is that enjoy today because tomorrow is not promised type thing.
Carpe dies diem, my
friend. Carpe dies diem. Indeed it is. Friendships was another one that we did, which was interesting.
Yeah, it's good.
And I asked you, I think at the time, like your circle of friends, I can't remember the answer, but I said, how many do you have, like real close friends? What was it?
Seven, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Like real close.
I'd say seven, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I said like two or three.
Yeah.
Friendships.
But I don't know how wide, like I'm putting you in my seven.
I made the seven.
Yeah, you're in the seven. You're in the
magnificent. But now I've got four. Ross Edwards sent one in on friendships. He said, my best mate didn't ask me to be his best man at his wedding, so I walked away from his world. Concentrate on myself and my daughter. That's a bit, mate.
That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous, Ross. I'm sorry.
Ross.
He might have been best mates, mate, but he might not have looked at
you. Do
you
know what? As a man who's got married, right, listen, never take anything wedding to mean anything. There's so many layers. It's so difficult. If you only get an evening invite, it's not because of this. It's because her dad needs to invite his cousin who he hasn't spoken to for 20 years because it's political in the family and therefore you can't come. Whenever anyone's getting married, do you know what I'll always say to them? I'm like, look, if numbers are ever an issue, no drama. I get it. It's so difficult. Not being asked to be his best man.
Yeah.
Like, come on, get over yourself.
Yeah. So entitled, Ross. So entitled, like,
Didn't want you to be his best man. He's allowed. He didn't want you to be his best man.
Yeah. Probably doesn't think you're his best mate. Ross. Sort it out, all right? Leslie Lewis Walker said he enjoyed this. This is on friendships. It is so subjective, Ade. I do think the whole birthday thing is understandable. You cannot not reply and then expect people to be okay with that. Oh, that's me with my
communication. Oh, yeah, because your friend got annoyed.
I'm still not speaking. Mm. Every relationship takes effort. Love you guys. Thank you. If you love us, Leslie, feel free to leave a comment and say continue.
Continue. We need series two. This is applicable to everyone. Even Ross, who we just mocked.
Yeah, Ross, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, bro.
I take it back, Ross.
Yeah.
What I meant was, season two. Great comment. My communication is shocking, isn't it? Is it improving?
I think so. Mm. I think so. It is slightly bad. But it's just who you are, isn't it? But yeah, I think it is improving. But communication is important on every aspect, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you are quite shoddy at getting back if I say, how's Saudi going when you're in Saudi Arabia for the Joshua fight?
I'm busy.
But you're busy. I imagine that if I sent you a text saying, I need something urgently from a mate, I'd like to think you would reply.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. I'm just trying to look for, as you're speaking, I'm just trying to look for a couple of comments that have
come. Although saying that, talking about how good a friend you are, I'm literally talking to you on a podcast that's being filmed and you're on your phone.
I'm trying to look for a wonderful comment that came in from someone who messaged that.
Do me one big favour. Don't do any prep for this before we start recording. Find these messages before we record. Wait until we're live. Wait until I'm talking to nobody. Wait until the people listening to this are now going, is he still there? What's going on?
I'm here, everyone.
Sorry to anybody listening. Addy is currently flicking through his phone, presumably on Twitter.
Or Instagram.
Checking how many subscribers he's got on YouTube.
Not as much as you.
Right. Are we any danger you find in this, or shall I wrap it up?
No, wait. It was actually a very...
This better be good now.
It was such a good one as well.
I can't find it. Look. No. See, this is why you do some preparation beforehand. You've got to be ready and raring to go like a coiled spring the second that we press record on this podcast, like I am. I've had the coffee. I found my comments. I'm in. Bang.
I will say, I can't find it, but most of the... And I'm guessing this is the same as you. Most of the comments and sort of messages I've got have been like, what an amazing podcast. Mm. You helped me with my mental health, my anxiety. You know what is, I think because we were very, very open. Almost too open sometimes.
Sometimes I watched back and I'm like, bloody hell, what have I said to Lucy, our producer. I went, Lucy, I might need to hear one of them back. I'm a bit worried.
I'm like, yeah, so I think
we
most
might have
people,
to say that about this one, actually.
Mate, this one, definitely need to listen to it back. There's a couple of bits in it. But I think most of them was just, you know, keep going, great stuff. And I think because of who we are in this media world, I think maybe people look at us slightly different. And then when we opened up and people realized, well, you know, we're only human beings, we have problems as well. We're completely different in terms of your married wife, kid, mansion, at a one bedroom flat, single. No. So private school educated. I found that as well. And which surprised, didn't surprise. I knew you were quite posh. So I think people want to hear our stories. And I think we've been honest and given them.
Yeah.
Which I is what this is all about for me.
Yeah, the openness is important. Because I think if we expect people to be open with us when they comment, if we want people to empathise and listen to this and value this podcast, you can't do it from behind a facade. You have to be completely transparent.
You have to be all in.
Cards on the table.
Yeah.
And you also have to be ready for the flack that will come with that.
Mm.
Like me calling our first guest an idiot. You have to be
You
have to be ready for the flack that comes with that. And I certainly am.
No. I've enjoyed it. And I really hope that we do continue, just because I just feel like these conversations are important. And I feel like men are the worst at this. Like, you know, for a man, it's very rare that they open up, right? It's just almost like, and sometimes, by the way, I do think there is a world that still exists where it's no, roll up your sleeves and get on with it.
But there's nothing wrong with that. That's true as well.
At all. I think that's perfect.
Yeah. You should do 95% of problems should be that.
Yeah.
But then there is a 5% that needs to be explored. But a lot of people should pull themselves together and get on with it and work a bit harder.
Mm.
That's also allowed to say.
Yeah.
Like, that is also valid advice. But there is another percentage that need a bit of care, need a bit
100%.
Of love. 100%. We're trying to find the happy medium.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to find. Those 5% as well, they're almost hidden away and don't want to talk and don't want to say anything, and bring them out into the light.
Exactly.
And I think we've done it so far.
Preacher, fifth grade teacher.
How many bloody rhymes and songs do you have?
Well, you went very gospel there.
It was.
We're going to find
biblical.
Them and bring them into the light.
Biblical. It was biblical. Rory,
it's been an honour. Thank you for having me.
It's been an honour indeed. Guys, that's it. For series one, there will 100% be a series two.
You can't say that. That's not. There might be, if you give enough good feedback and send this to your mates and hopefully.
Well, now that I've said there will 100% be a series two,
I don't think you can do that though. It's not your decision to make.
It's my show.
It's your show, but the people who commission the show may not wish for you to do it anymore. So it's not
pressure.
You've just said 100%. Like, you can't do that. You don't have the authority. You don't have the skills.
Mm.
You can't say that this is 100% happening again. At the moment, I'd say it's at best 55 in our favour.
55.
I'm giving us a little bit of a glimmer of hope.
Right, guys, there will be a 55% chance.
There we go.
That there will be a series two. It could get to 60 if you guys leave a comment below this video and say how much you want it back. But no, I've enjoyed doing this with Rory. Thank you so much to all our guests. I can't list them all because far too many, but all of them were fantastic. A few do spring to mind. Anxiety Josh springs to mind. Gideon definitely springs to mind as well.
Smiley the Barber.
What's his name?
That's his name on Instagram, Smiley the
Barber. Smiley the Barber.
Yeah.
Smiley the Barber, I'll be seeing you soon as well. Make sure, like, guys, download this podcast wherever you download your podcast from. Again, if you are one of those people that like to watch a podcast, just head over to TalkSport's YouTube channel and you will find us there as well. For myself and from my sidekick, Mr. Rory Jennings, before he gets a word in, goodbye.
Toolstation are the proud sponsors of the Men's Room podcast on TalkSport. Join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes such as TVs, gaming consoles and even holidays. If all that isn't enough, then remember, if you sign up, then you will get loads of exclusive discounts that aren't available anywhere else. That's the Toolstation Club. So make sure you join today, online, in-store, or via the app.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear, and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.